My name is Avery Stemple. I am the owner and proprietor of Collar City Mushrooms in Lansingburg, North Troy, New York. And we grow a variety of gourmet and medicinal mushrooms.
I'm Corinne Carey. I'm a lawyer, a policy analyst, and an organizer. And I live in Lansingburg here in Troy.
Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. We're really excited to talk about the New York Psilocybin Action Committee. The origins originated from the Ending the Prohibition of the Mind, a Mushroom Symposium, the event at the Sanctuary. Could you talk a little bit about what this organization does and the origins?
So I think the origins trace back a little bit before the symposium. When Avery opened up Collar City Mushrooms, we got to talking, and I do legislative and policy change at the state level. And we shared this interest in legislative and regulatory change around magic mushrooms. And I said I had been sort of looking into this movement in other states and found it fascinating. And he told me, and he can speak for himself, but he told me about the number of customers that he had that came in that were asking him about magic mushrooms. And of course, you know, Collar City Mushrooms is a culinary and medicinal mushroom farm. And so they don't sell or cultivate or anything with magic mushrooms, but the demand is there. And so it's an exciting time around the country. And there's a huge interest in this. So we started talking, and that's when we decided to do this event at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, Ending the Prohibition of the Mind. And from that, the folks that we got involved in that symposium, the speakers, the sponsors, and the attendees wanted to do more and wanted to do more practical organizing around making legalized psilocybin a reality for the Empire State. Avery, is that how you remember it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to, you know, speak from the farm perspective, you know, I do get a variety of people from all walks of life coming in asking with a wink and a nod for those special mushrooms. And, you know, unfortunately, that is a medicinal mushroom that we cannot provide at this point because it is a Schedule I drug substance according to the 1970 Federal Substance Abuse Act. And I've had people come in. This one gentleman sticks out in my mind in particular. He was in his 70s and his father was in his 90s. And, you know, he had done the research about how psilocybin containing mushrooms can help with end of life stress and trauma. And, you know, he was just like, do you know anyone that can provide this? And unfortunately, you know, I can't source that type of mushroom, even though it does grow in the wild. And, you know, I said that there are ways that you can find it. It is a natural mushroom. And unfortunately, I also had to like suggest possibly going to the dark web and, you know, all these things that are for someone who legitimately wants to ease his father's suffering, he should not have to look towards sources that can be less than honest. And I definitely feel that we need to create a more accessible environment for people who are experiencing trauma, PTSD, cluster headaches, all these things. People come in for all these different reasons. And, you know, it is just another a mushroom that I obviously would love to be able to provide to people.
People who attended the event, it was really important to hear the different perspectives on why people were arguing for the legalization of psilocybin. Something that stuck out to me was even the recreational use is a part of self-care and also the usage for PTSD. I know, Corinne, you also interviewed ahead of the event the Hero Hearts.
Was that Heroic Hearts Project? Yeah, it's a group of veterans that organized to help returning vets struggling with PTSD and other trauma to gain access to psychedelic therapy and specifically psilocybin. And you're right. I think, you know, there has been this false dichotomy, particularly in the debate around the legalization of cannabis, between medical use and recreational use. But if you really think about it, some of the best medicine is nature itself. I mean, taking a walk, getting exercise, breathing fresh air, nutrition. When you laugh, when you have fun with friends, these things are so beneficial to mental health that the line is really, it's a false one. Recreation is healthcare in many ways. And so, you know, many people who are using psychedelic drugs and particularly psilocybin are using it for mental health care. It makes them feel better and it makes them function better in the world. And so I think we should be lifting up this idea of recreation as medicine.
Yeah. And with the symposium, Corinne and I discussing the idea that this should be more accessible, you know, she pointed out that there are currently three bills, or there were in the last legislative cycle, that discussed accessibility for psilocybin. Pat Burke proposed one that would allow military vets suffering from PTSD to consume psilocybin in a controlled setting under therapeutic care by a trained professional. And Linda Rosenthal proposed two bills. One that would decriminalize psilocybin and remove it from being a scheduled substance in New York and just allow for use, and the other to study the medicinal applications of psilocybin. So as our dialogue around that symposium evolved and we started involving more and more people, you know, we created this network of individual groups and people around the state who have been working on changing the climate surrounding psilocybin. And during the symposium, a variety of people started chiming in about how can we get involved, you know, what can we do to help move this process forward. And that then birthed the New York Psilocybin Action Committee, which is now meeting at Collar City Mushrooms monthly right now as we start to plan for how we're going to organize. And then, you know, we're going to evolve what we're doing moving forward with a few live events and interest building things. And then we're creating informational packets with testimony and research that we will be handing to the legislators in order to get co-sponsors for the bills moving forward.
This network that was created out of the event, and to use a mushroom analogy, this like mycelium network that kind of was created with the connection between all these different organizations who have similar goals and can also articulate the support of these laws from different perspectives to resonate with different people, is really the way to create these changes. And how close do you feel like it is to be passed into decriminalization or legalization?
So I feel like this mycelial network, as you call it, that Avery is really cultivating with the New York Psilocybin Action Committee, is the only way to affect change. The only way to change laws and policies is to create a grassroots movement. And I think we are so ahead of the game here in New York because of the symposium, because so many of these organizations have wanted to do this. As you said, they have these shared goals, but there was never a force that organized them to work in concert with one another. And so that's what it takes to change law and policy. And I will say, you know, having worked in the legislature on a number of other major social change issues like Rockefeller drug law reform and cannabis decriminalization, and even abortion law and policy here in New York, it's not very easy to pass a law in New York. You know, some bills hang around waiting for the right moment for years. But I'm really hopeful here because there's action in states all around us. Municipalities and states are taking action to legalize psilocybin. There's a demand. We have a broken mental health system that is in desperate need of an infusion of new ideas and new techniques. And psilocybin offers that. So I feel like there are a lot of factors that are coming into play that will pave the way for making legalization in New York a reality. But, you know, the organizing and bringing people from across the state to the table to do that in concert is key.
That is the crux of the issue, is I think there are so many people operating independently, and joining together and speaking with one voice is the way that we can show to the people creating the laws, or, you know, maintaining the laws, that, you know, there is this desire for change. And I think when I started talking to Corinne about wanting to create a network of mushroom farmers, which I've now, I love palindromes. And so I came up with this the other day. It's New York Mushroom Farmers Advocating for Massaging Your Neurons. And that really was the impetus for creating the symposium. And, you know, I think that we've just continued to add layers of groups who are interested in assisting with making this change. And so, you know, critical to creating an environment where change can happen is connecting with people across the state who will then speak to their legislators and inform them that it is important that we create this change. And so the more co-sponsors we can get for the bills that we're going to advocate for, the more likely it is to pass. Because if they are a co-sponsor, that means they're going to vote for this bill. So both Linda Rosenthal and Pat Burke's bills that were proposed last year had only them as the sponsors, one single person. And Corinne, you have the number, but there is a tipping point of co-sponsors and people wanting this change that is necessary for anything to happen. And if we can mobilize people across the state to contact their legislators and inform them that this is an important issue, then they will have no choice but to get on board and help create this change.
And I think they're going to want to. Once they start seeing the benefits that psilocybin has to offer to sexual assault survivors and veterans and people struggling with all kinds of mental health issues. I mean, Linda Rosenthal, the assembly member who introduced this bill and is carrying it, was motivated to introduce it because she's the chair of the Substance Abuse Committee in the New York State Assembly. And, you know, we're in the middle of an unprecedented overdose crisis. And if there is something that is untapped that can help people break the cycle of drug use that has become harmful to them and that could become deadly to them, who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Where can listeners find more information?
Sure. We are working on a website that should be published soon. But for now, we are on Instagram at NY Psilocybin Action Committee and on Facebook with the same name. So either of those locations have all of the updates that we've been posting. And then we will have a website hopefully within the next month or two.
Thank you so much for joining us, Corinne Carey and Avery Stemple.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.